You're worthy of all our worship, of all our praise. Yeah. Only You're holy. Only You're worthy of all our worship, of all our praise. Only You're holy. Only You're worthy of all our
I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To
all your ways, O Lord Jesus.
You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. Perfect in all of your ways. To us, you're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Father, we're so thankful that you're with us. We're so thankful, Father, that you're with us. We're so thankful for your presence, that we have access to you, Father, that there are no barriers, Lord.
To know things.
things have passed away. Your love has stayed the same. Your constant grace remains the cornerstone. Yes. Things that we thought were dead are breathing in life again. You cause your sun to shine on darkest nights. For all that you've done, we will pour out our love. This will be our anthem song. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the hopeless have found their hope. The orphans now have a home. All that was lost has found its place in you, yeah. You lift our weary heads. You make us strong. Again, you stood these rags and made us beautiful. For all that you've done, we will pour out our love. This will be our anthem song. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love. You are the one our hearts adore, Jesus. And Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. Jesus, our affection, our devotion. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. Let's adore him. Let's adore him.
Jesus, we love you.
You're amazing, God.
Father, thank you that you make us new in your presence. Thank you that you make us new in your presence, Father. Thank you that with the word you wash us and you make us clean. With the washing of their word and the precious blood of Jesus. Thank you that you're making us new again. And for all that you've done, Lord, we thank you.
It's good to just soak, isn't it? We get to do that this weekend. Praise the Lord. Father, as we look to your word, may we see you in greater fashion for who you are. Open our eyes, open our hearts. Restore. We thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen. Amen. All right. I'm going to steal a stand here. Thanks. These guys are awesome, aren't they? And I know this happens naturally in a weekend like this to an extent because we have more time, but just encourage us as well to take opportunity to meet some new people, to cross-pollinate from cross-culture and OBCC and other Cross and Crown, whatever, wherever you come from. But yeah, let's take time at lunch or in the break or like we already did some as we came. Thanks to Cindy and some of the ladies who got some food together for us this morning. Yeah. There is a spiritual profile, the personal spiritual profile available. How many of you have picked that up? And just encourage all of us to do this throughout the day as you get time. It doesn't take that long, but just some quick stuff that'll just help us be more prepared to respond to what God wants to do in our hearts over this weekend. So I encourage you to do that. And if you haven't registered, which means if you didn't talk to somebody at that table as you came in, we'd love for you to do that. We need you to do that. And so at you can do it at lunch when we. So thank you for doing that. A familiar story that we're going to look at for a few minutes, and let that be part of our invitation into the rest of the day. Luke chapter 15. How many know that God is in the restoration business? Amen. If he can create out of nothing, he can just as well take something that has been blemished and even destroyed and make something new again. Amen. And in our lives, whether we just came to Christ or we're on the front end of our faith journey or if we've walked with him for many years, he is still in that business of restoring us. And the day we think we've been restored or we've arrived, we're in trouble. But we're in process. He who began a good work in you will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ, until he comes again, until we're made fully new in his likeness. Amen. So as we just take a few minutes to look at this story, I want us to look at this not thinking about somebody else or thinking, yeah, I already know this, but just letting our hearts be set to say, I'm in this. In fact, say that with me. I'm in this story. I'm in this story. We are here. The many different pictures that are painted in these few verses of how we can respond, and most of all, how God the Father looks at us and responds to us. We're in this story. Amen? So just to let God do his work in us, let his restoration happen in us, forgiveness, healing, taking our brokenness and making us whole, just inviting him to do that. We won't read the whole story, but you're there, and we're going to touch on some things. And this story begins with the young son just saying, I want what's mine. I want what's mine. Father, give me my share of the estate. And his father divided his property between them. He gave what was due each of his sons, and the one son just took it and ran. And as we find ourselves here, one stopping point is just realizing that we often do the same thing. How often do we just choose our own path? We just say, hey, I'm going to take what's mine. I'm going to make something out of what I have. I'm going to do this my way. And that's what he did. And when we do that with God, when we do that with what he gives us, what happens? We find ourselves separating ourselves from God's perfect plan. Doing it our way takes us away from God, makes us independent. And as we shared last night, we're moving from independence to dependence. And when we claim and declare our independence, we are separating ourselves from God. But there's a transition. As he took what he rightfully had from the Father and ran and spent it wildly, that's where we get this word prodigal. It's wasteful extravagance. We find ourselves just running and spending all that was given to us. But he found himself in lack after he had spent everything. Think about that. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came, I like the translation that says, when he came to the end of himself, or when he came to his senses, as it says here in the NIV, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I'm starving to death. I'll set out and go back. I'll set out and go back. There's a process here. One, we take what we think is ours and we run with it. We spend it. We try to do it our way. And then after everything's spent and we're at that place of need, we're at the end of ourselves, we begin to turn. We find ourselves with nothing. And things got so bad that he thought, I'll just eat with the pigs. He was at the lowest of the low, at the bottom. And it was in that place that he turned back and said, it's got to be better back where I started. It's got to be better back with my father. And in our lives, the brokenness, whether it's sin, our separation from God, it's our doing it our way, even within the context of our walk with God, saying we're going to tell him how we should, how our relationship should be. Whatever that is, it's when we come to the end of ourselves, and that process takes, I'm going back to the Father. I'm going back to the Father. And just as the prodigal made the decision to leave his father, now he made the decision to go back. Restoration begins when we just say, God, here I am. It's not my way, it's your way. It's not me, it's you. It's not my plan, it's your plan. And in all of our hearts, when we want God to work in us, we have to be at the end of ourselves and just say, I'm going back to the Father. The line here in verse 18 is key to the turning point. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I have sinned against heaven and against you. Restoration. Our first coming to Christ. Well, how did that happen? It's when we just came to the end of ourselves and says, I have sinned. Repentance. And even as followers of Jesus and in our walk with him, that restoration work that continues, it happens when we are in a place. When we say, Father, I have sinned. It's good for us daily coming to the Father and just offering ourselves and saying, here I am. I have sinned. Before we can be restored to God or others, as we talk about restoration, we have to admit our sin. I was listening to a podcast this week, and a pastor had just put out a question to his congregation, and many responded just on social media and Facebook. But he said, the nature, the natural man, the way we tend, when we talk about stuff with God, we're always talking about our circumstances and others and this stuff that happened and putting blame or at least the context is wider. But it's very seldom that we just come. And that's why the young son had to come to this place. It wasn't circumstances. It wasn't what if. It wasn't excuses. It was just, here I am. I am in need of you. I have sinned. We come to the Father with that. The most important part of this story, and for all of us, as we just consider the work of God in our hearts and in our lives this morning, it's this. To me, this story is the greatest picture of the Father heart of God, of the love of the Father, the greatest picture of God's response to us right where we are. And we need that right picture of the Father. A.W. Tozer said, the way a man thinks about God is the most important thing about him. What we think, and in this room right now, for many of us that have walked with God even for years, our tainted view of the heart of the Father keeps us from the level of intimacy and understanding and closeness and just walking in relationship to him. It's that view of the Father. That's why I think this song we just sang earlier is so powerful and has hit the church in this, because we are identifying. There's something there as we sing those words. You're a good, good Father. We've got to remind ourselves of that. We've got to know that. We've got to understand that. That's the key to all restoration. It's not who we are and what we've done wrong. It's who he is and what he can fix and what he repairs and who he is as our Father. And so these words in verse 20 says, so he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And I love this, the posture of the Father. The Father had to be daily just looking, waiting, anticipating the return of this son, because he was ready for him. So he sees him when he's still a long way off. He's standing on the porch of his estate, and he's looking out over the horizon, and he sees off in the distance this image of something moving, and then he watches, and finally when he's close enough and he realizes, this is my son. He ran. I love it. This is so anti-cultural. And Jesus, in the context of speaking this in the Jewish environment, in the Middle Eastern society, the whole image of the Father, he's the one you come and honor. He's the one that you bow to. You crawl if you've done wrong. You come begging back. And yet the image here is the Father goes running to the Son. He ran to his Son. Those words, if we need a picture of God, that's what we need. God comes running our direction. He's looking for us. He's ready. The heart of the Father. He ran to his son. When the prodigal began the journey of reconciliation, his loving father rushed out to meet him. He was overcome with joy. And as this son comes home, we see now this picture that is given to us of royalty. Even before the son could just spew everything he was ready to confess and get it all out there, the father just begins to put on him everything that he had squandered and wasted and begged for and abused, and he comes back and just, he puts royalty on him. That's the Father. The Father didn't just totally forgive his son, but he completely restored him. He completely restored him. He ran, he threw his arms around him, he kissed him. The son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. His confession, his repentance. But the father said to the servants, quick, just bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, that sign of status, that sign of inheritance, that sign of relationship that was there between them. He put the robe on him. He gave him the ring that said, we're in covenant. Father, son, you're in this family. You are fully restored. It's like you never left. He put shoes on his feet, just representing that rightful place as his son, being a part of this family and providing for him and giving him those shoes on his feet. And he killed the calf.
He celebrated. He started a party as if this one that was lost was not just fully restored, but we're going to celebrate like we've never celebrated. It's a better celebration than if he had never left. And so that killing of the calf, that covenant relationship, that restoration that has gone full circle. The son who was lost is found, who was gone is now home. And for us to see the Father in that way, for us, each and every one of us in our lives, to see the Father in that way. One of the most important things in our walk, in our intimacy with God, is our understanding and our relationship, the Father heart of God. And it's a process. God works this in us. And it's that ongoing restoration as we just invite the work of the Father in totality, in completion, to be at work in us. The Father heart of God. I don't know what your experience has been. Many times there is we mentally draw this. That's why we need supernatural work. We mentally just draw a parallel between the relationship we had with our earthly father, and it just paints the initial picture of, well, this must be what the heavenly Father is like. And that's why we need healing. That's why we need restoration, because no matter how good our earthly father relationship was or how bad it was, we all need a picture of the Father heart of God, the heavenly Father. I had a great relationship with my earthly father, but I also know this, he was far from perfect. And yet the love he showed me unconditionally, it was a great launching pad. But if I stopped there and just left my view of my heavenly father like my earthly father, I would fall far short of who God the Father is. And even in my own life, I needed work and restoration. And there are times in my life that I go back to, and just they're markers for me of when the Father heart of God was illuminated to my spirit. As a young man, just in starting in missions in Uganda, I'll never forget a time where there was opportunity for the disconnect that I had of the Father heart of God as I just looked at it from an earthly view. And ministry that happened in my heart, inner healing that took place, the opportunity for God to just take my tainted view and open me to the heart of the Father in a way that never had been there before. How do you see the Father today? How do you view the work of the Father? The love of the Father, the restoration, the restorative power of God in our lives through the work of the Father. Several months ago, in fact, it's probably a year or 2 years ago, there was an opportunity for us from here at Oakbrook. We go work with Chicago City Life Church periodically, and we were in the city at the church there. Many of the people that come in on a Tuesday night come in off the streets. They're living on the streets. They come in for a free meal and a service, and it's part of their outreach. And we just come alongside as a church and bring food, bring the meal, and we're there as part of the ministry for that night. And it's a great opportunity for us to just connect in that way in the city. But I'll never forget one night when we were there, I got a call from our son Benjamin. And Benji is part of a church plant down in Austin, Texas, or out just outside of Austin in San Marcos, Texas. And he called, and I was having a hard time hearing because the music was going, and I think he called twice. We kind of have this unspoken rule that if you call once and we don't answer, you know we can't. But if it's important, you call again so you know, hey, Dad, I need to talk to you as soon as I can. And I think it was one of those where I knew I needed to take the call. So I stepped in. We're in this church, and they have a pretty many of us from OBCC know it. They have a good kitchen, and they had a little food storage area. And I kind of walked in there to get some quiet, and I'm sitting around all this food stuff on the shelf, and we're making a meal to serve some homeless people and just whoever's part of that church family. And Benji was, I could tell it was a bit desperate, and he was saying, hey Dad, I've really been trying. I'm you know, I'm not making a lot of money, and I'm trying to volunteer at the church. And he said, I don't really know if this is gonna work right now. I began to ask him questions, and he literally was bypassing meals or eating less than he wanted to, because he didn't feel like he had the funds he was saying, hey, that's just where it's at right now. And in that moment, as a father, I'm standing in a church in the city that's preparing a meal for the needy, and I'm looking at shelves that have food stuff to help them provide meals. And here I am, an earthly father, and my son is going hungry, is basically what he was telling me. And in that moment, the heart of the father, it rose up in me. It's like, there's no way my son's going hungry. Benj, go buy a steak dinner and put it on my account. Go eat some food. Don't you worry about what you're like. Just take care of I'm here. I'll pay the bill. And in that moment, just standing in that setting and feeling that. And as parents, we've had those moments. I share often when our kids were born, and just the father heart. Like when Benji was born, the first child, it was felt the same for Cassidy as well, but I never had experienced before. But the heart of a father that just rises up. That if I can love a son that we just gave birth to, as much as I feel like I love him right now because we were part of that creation, if I can do that in that moment of exhilaration and purity and just excitement, how much more? How much more does the Father love you? And I'm telling us today, we all need this. We're in this story. The son that just didn't understand it, and he wasted it all. The prodigal. We have a prodigal God. There's another definition of prodigal. Tim Keller wrote a book, The Prodigal God, which talks about lavish, extravagant giving that is like uncontrollable. It's not wasted. The son wasted it, and we get this idea of prodigal that just is rebellious and wasteful. God isn't wasting it, but he's not holding anything back. He's pouring it out on you, on us. That's God the Father. That's who we have opportunity to connect with, to adore, to walk with, to let our life be restored through. That's the Father. And if we can feel that in just these glimpses, in these moments, in a human way, how much more God towards us? The Father heart of God. And I believe today, just as we walk through this time of retreat and letting God do his work, our tainted view of the Father becomes like a stiff arm of resistance to intimacy. And the more tainted it is, the more broken our view of the Father is, it's just easier to stay away. And you know, it's not just this son. In fact, I'll be very honest with you. When I share this story, I have to say this. I'm not as challenged, and I said at the beginning, for all of us, we find ourselves somewhere in here. We're all in this. If all you need to see is a broken son that finally sees the Father for who he is. That's where we all want to be. We want to see the Father for who he is and understand that everything he has is ours, that he's invited us in, he's given us an inheritance. We just have to live in what he's provided. But it's not just the son that rebelled and ran. It's the other son. And the father responds the same. You know the end of the story. The oldest son, the one that stayed home, the one that was the goody-goody two-shoes, the one that just seemed to do everything right, at least on the outside. And some of us are there. Some of us are those religious folk. We've been in the church our whole life. We think we deserve it. We have an entitlement mentality. And that's where I can fall, even in my own family, with my brother, who was the one, my younger brother, who rebelled and who is still not back with God. As I pray for him, I say, God, help me to not have a eldest son syndrome. In fact, even this morning, just in worship, as these guys were leading us in good Father, I just thought about my brother. My desire to see him know God in that way. If he would just know God in that way, he couldn't help but come home. And I, just in that moment, I while we're worshiping, I texted my brother and just said, I love you. I'm glad you're my brother. I don't want to have an eldest brother syndrome. And here, he missed it. And yet, it was the father. You read it in the story. The father stepped out. The father stepped out of the party that was put on because of the youngest son coming home. The father stepped out and he went to the oldest son. There again, the father takes the initiative. He comes to us. He's inviting us into the party. But the hardness, we don't even see the end result of that. The one that had always been there was the one that very likely missed out on it all. So for us in the church, we're here this morning. We've been around. Let's not just think we've got it all figured out and we know God the Father. We understand who he is. And yet we have our stuff that we live in, that we put up with, that is tainted, and it's not the heart of the Father that wants to be worked in our lives. Maybe for many of us in this room, we're going to have to deal with more of the oldest son's stuff than the younger. But wherever we're at in the mix, it's the same Father that invites us in. It's the same Father that calls us home. It's the same Father that wants us to know him intimately. It's that same Father. He's in the restoration business. And so, as we go through this day, may our hearts be open. We're not here just to feel good. And there is a great sense, I just in the worship, just the presence, the peace of God that is just here as we gather together and worship. But that's not all it's about. The Father is calling us to intimacy, to relationship, to sonship with him, and taking us where he wants us to be. So are we open to that today? Are we willing to just say, Father God, I want to see you for who you are. No strings attached, no preconceived ideas, no I've got it all figured out or I've arrived, but just the Father, the Abba Father, that relationship that he prepared and invites us into. May we encounter and experience that. I'm going to ask you guys to just come and let's take a few minutes here and then, Jose, I'll turn it to you however you want to transition from there. But let's just take inventory. And as we just adore the Father, as we just let him work in our hearts and help us see him for who he is, could there be some restoration, some healing from some work that he does? just right now in these few moments to heal our hearts. And I'm going to ask Jose and some of our leaders, some guys and some gals, to just be up front. Let's stand together. And let's just ask the Father how we're doing with Him. And there may be just in these moments an opportunity and a need to just hear the words of the Father, to have the embrace of the Father. It says, you're mine. You're my son. You're my daughter. It's not what you do. It's whose you are. I'm here. The healing words. I remember in my life one of my most broken moments as a young adult. And I was ready to run out of the house. And my dad placed his hand on my shoulder and he kind of turned me around. And he just looked me in the eye and he just said, Chip, I love you. And he embraced me and affirmed me at one of the most broken times in my life. And it marked me. It melted me in that moment. It's like all the stuff that was running through my head and the anger and the brokenness in that moment. It's like it got lost in just as I just with tears running down my face, just the embrace of my Father that just became a healing moment. And God offers that in a much greater fashion. And so just some of the work we're doing today, to stop right here for a few moments and say, Father God, how is it? Is there some work you want to do in my heart? And so I'd like a few of our leaders, a couple men, a couple ladies. Ladies go to ladies, men to men. And we're on a retreat. Let's just let all the other stuff fall off. And just as we sing this song, if we can sing, You're a Good, Good Father. Some of us in this room, just to give opportunity to check in this moment, may just need to let someone representing that and speak words of affirmation and words of acceptance and words of just an embrace of the Spirit, the Father heart of God. Let that come and be our portion. But as we just take a moment and worship the Lord in this, let the Father be the Father. Invite Him in. His work in our hearts. So Lord, as we're here, we avail ourselves to You. We see You running in our direction. You're running to us. Your healing embrace, Your healing touch, Your covenant love, the robe around our back, the ring on our finger, the Father heart of God in full expression. Lord, in these moments, would You just let that work be ours as it's needed in all of us to some level, but in very specific and significant ways, just in this moment. Lord, we ask for You to work by Your Spirit. We thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Some of you need to hear the Father say, ladies, if you'll just step up and a lady can just speak and pray and embrace. Let God do a healing touch. Men, coming to one of the men up here and just letting those words as if He is speaking them to you. Let's let healing happen in these next few moments. And for some of us, just a next level, just an affirmation. So Lord, do Your work as we allow You to minister and touch us where we are, to see You for who You are. Thank You, Jesus.
draw near to me. Now I'll draw near to you. And draw near to me, says the Lord, and I'll draw near to you. As you call me, deeper still, as you call me, deeper still, as you call me, deeper still into love. Love, you're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. 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 To us, you're perfect, yeah. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Call us deeper still. Down the guards. Oh, oh yeah. We open our heart. Oh, into love. Oh. Need your love, need your love, need your love. Because you know just what we need before we say a word. Oh, you're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh. Perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Sometimes we don't understand, but you are perfect in all of your. Oh, you're perfect. Perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to still. We want to know you deeper. Still want to know you deeper. Still want to know you deeper. Still want to love you deeper. Still want to love you deeper. Still want to love you deeper. Still want to praise you deeper. Still we want to praise you deeper. Still thank you.
this time. Just finishing up this time, this ministry time. So we're going to just take a few minutes. Just we're going to stay in the room. We want to just greet one another really quickly. We're going to transition over to the next session around 11 o'clock. So we got a few minutes. Like just again, just stay within the room because we don't want to bring everyone back in as we finish up this time. But we'll start back up at 11.